All right, welcome to episode 33 of the Tag Teamers podcast. Just got done with another long, grueling, four-hour AEW pay-per-view. All In, it's finally over. What did you think? What do you want to start off with?
Yeah, let's talk about the length. You think it was too long. What do you think should have been cut?
I mean, does anybody want to see Jericho?
No.
Yeah.
I saw pictures.
Every tag match?
Yeah, pictures where everyone was going to the bathroom when Jericho made his entrance.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah, so even the people in the stadium don't want to watch Jericho.
Yeah. So, yeah, you could cut him. I can do without tag matches forever and always. You know, get them down to 2 hours. I don't want to watch 4 hours of anything, much less a wrestling pay-per-view. Too long. Can't do it.
Yeah, I mean, 4 hours, long time. I mean, thankfully, this is the 1 o'clock start time. Obviously, most of the time, they start at 8. You know, this is a Sunday, you know, so imagine if this started at 8. You know, this is getting over at 12, 12:30. You got work in the morning. It's just, yeah. You know, it's just not great for anybody.
That's almost as disrespectful as the UFC.
Yeah. At least that's on Saturday, though.
Right.
You know.
Those are my two most despised organizations, AEW and UFC.
Another thing is, I mean, we were watching from the comfort of our own homes. Being in the stadium, in those uncomfortable seats, squished between people, it's just way too long. Then you're forced to buy stadium food, drinks, you know, just ripping you off even more. But the only argument for the 4 hours, I'll say, is they charge $50 a pay-per-view. So they're, you know, on one hand, they are trying to give you a true bang for your buck.
Yeah. That is the one good point. Because, I mean, hey, I'm the wrestling fan who wants way less wrestling. So I'm not expecting people to agree with me, but I don't want a 4 hour pay-per-view. Matches are my least favorite part of wrestling. I just want, I'll take a 4 hour promo pay-per-view any day of the week over 4 hours of matches.
Well, I think that's one thing AEW doesn't do well either is, you know, WWE sometimes on pay-per-views or PLEs, we will get the Grayson Waller effect or, you know, some sort of talking segment even within the paper, you know, just a pacing thing. Just AEW, they don't even do video packages between matches. It's just bang, 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 bang. You know, so it's just like 4 hours of stuff you're supposed to pay attention to as well.
Yeah. It's fatiguing.
Yeah.
If you were to actually do it.
Yeah, I would say if I had to cut a match off of this, I would have cut the Trios title match off, mostly because, I mean, his first match of the night, I thought it was going to be good. I was kind of disappointed with this match. For some reason, they had mini ladders. Like, all the ladders they were using were just barely over 6 feet tall. I don't know if you noticed that, except that one, the one that they used to actually take the belts off was pretty tall, but all of them are, like, just barely standing taller than the wrestlers.
Yeah, and I mean, were you surprised at all with? We'll wait till the Casino Gauntlet match to talk about that. Just the whole kill switch thing,
yeah,
kind of like, you know, faking you out a little bit. But yeah, I mean, that was like, were you surprised the Patriarchy lost?
Yeah, I mean, I was at the time. Obviously, later it makes sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, at the time, it didn't make sense to me, especially with Pac winning with Claudio and Yuta. They're not even a true trio. They got thrown together just to be in this match. They gave Pac his moment in Wembley. But, I mean, there was no story to this. This was just trying to get the cheap pop. So I thought that was stupid. I thought they were the least likely team to win, actually.
Yeah, so you didn't see that coming at all?
No.
Yeah, I mean, I guess just somebody to take the belts And that's pretty much it. More about taking it off of Christian rather than them winning it.
Yeah. And, I mean, honestly, I think this could have been chopped off the card, too, especially because, as we mentioned, when it ties into the casino, like, we already get Christian and Killswitch, you know? Like, we didn't need both matches to tell that story.
Yeah.
You know? What did you think of the casino gauntlet?
Well, to be honest with you, I think I missed it.
Oh, you did.
But I know what happened in it. Yeah. Okay. I know what happened in it. But I mean, we can just talk about Christian and Killswitch, basically.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So the big thing is, I mean, you expect the patriarchy to fall apart after the tag match, and then ultimately Killswitch just sacrifices himself in order to help Christian win. So did it feel like a waste to you?
No. There's a few issues I had with the casino gauntlet. First off, the commentators had to explain the rules because AEW hasn't done it on their television show. Whereas, like, when the Royal Rumble comes, the announcer explains it. There's a true explanation. There's a graphic. If you've never even seen wrestling before, you know the rules, the stipulations. You know everything going on. AEW doesn't do that. The commentators say that there could be 21 participants in this match, but it could end at any time with a pinfall. Stupid. Just beyond stupid. I mean, what are the... Because they didn't have 21 people come out. So what are the other guys doing? Just standing back there? You know, they're just not on the card. They're not in the match. So that was dumb. Another thing is, like, it's just, this could have just been a battle royal. It could have been, and it should have been to me. Ricochet debuted as expected.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, start that over again. Yeah.
Yeah. Ricochet debuts as expected. Him and Nigel McGuinness, the only true surprises. I was actually pretty surprised with Nigel. I wasn't expecting to see him. Happy to see him get back in the ring. But I was hoping for more here. You know, I thought maybe we would get either Moxley, Omega, or Adam Cole, one of the three. Obviously, we get none of them.
Yeah, Moxley was your pick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I thought... Yeah, Ricochet put on a show as expected. I don't know. Who the hell is Nigel? What something or other?
Nigel McGuinness. But long. I mean,
why is everybody freaking out about him?
Long story short, he's from Liverpool. He's just a Ring of Honor legend. He had a short run in TNA. He was forced to retire because of concussions, and this is his first match in 10-plus years.
Okay. I feel like every person who's forced to retire due to injury, it's never permanent. They're always back in like 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's premature, I guess, with being forced to retire. But, I mean, at least a lot of the top people like Sting, Daniel Bryan, / Bryan Danielson, Edge, Paige, they were all in WWE when they were forced to retire. And, you know, it's different, whereas Nigel wasn't even a part of WWE when he was forced to retire, so it was like his own personal doctor. So, I mean, I get like WWE is a little more worried about liability and, you know, whatever else there. But, yeah, I mean, if your personal doctor tells you you can't wrestle anymore because of concussions, I don't know why, as we're learning more and more about the dangers of concussions, why it's okay to wrestle now.
Yeah. Yeah, like what changes? But yeah, anything else on the casino gauntlet match?
Yeah, definitely. Were you disappointed with the lack of surprises in it? Or did those two scratch the itch? I mean, you're not even familiar with Nigel, so I would imagine that didn't do much.
Yeah. No, wasn't like disappointed or like I was neutral on everything. I mean, I expected to see Ricochet, so I mean, most of the AEW people, like, I wouldn't know anyway if they were surprises. So, nah, not really.
Okay. Ricochet, I mean, not to get too deep into it, but what do you think his ceiling is in AEW? Can he be a world champion? I mean, that was something that he couldn't really achieve in WWE, but obviously this is a better fit for him.
Yeah, I mean, he'll be completely unleashed, you would think, right? So, yeah. I mean, I think you have to say, I don't think you can rule that out right now. So, sure, I would say that's the ceiling. Like, I don't know that he can't do that.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a great physique. Obviously, he's athletic as anybody. So, you know, we'll see how he does in terms of just the feel of him otherwise, like his aura and his, you know, mic work, everything. So I've barely ever even heard Ricochet on the mic. Well,
that's his weak point, is his mic skills. That's what held him back in the WWE. I mean,
yeah, not surprising, but yeah, I mean, like, I don't even know if I have ever heard the guy's voice almost.
Yeah.
I'm sure I have, but I can't think of it.
Obviously, in AEW, mic skills are not as important. They do focus more on the in-ring stuff. So, yeah, I mean, I think Ricochet can and should be world champion in AEW. I think if he wasn't, I'd be pretty surprised, honestly.
Should be? You expect it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think this is just the perfect place for him, and I think he can have the best match, obviously, with a lot of these top guys. And yeah, I definitely think it should happen. He's young enough; like, he's still got plenty of years. He's got the athleticism still. I would expect it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, that makes sense. I mean, I'm with you. I'm with you. Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do, because I mean, he was definitely. I mean, everybody knew he was the most athletic guy in the WWE, but he wasn't. It's not like he was really tapping into it all the time. You know, he wasn't actually having to push himself.
Yeah. And I mean, part of that, you know, I've talked about this with you before, is part of that's the house shows. You know, WWE runs, AEW doesn't run the house show. So when you have to wrestle 3, 4, 5 more nights of the week, you know, you have to be a little more tame in a match on Monday night. Whereas AEW, you know, Ricochet might wrestle once every 2-3 weeks. I think we'll really get to see his full skill set now.
Yeah, and I get that. And I completely understand it. So I'm not saying it's like a problem or anything with the WWE. It's just that's the way it is there, and it's not that way in AEW.
Yep. Last thing on the casino. So Christian wins. It seems like this is going to serve as almost a Money in the Bank. Right, like that's kind of how the commentators made it seem, is he can cash in any time. So with that being said, would you expect him to cash in successfully and be a world champion when this is done?
So hard to say, because I can easily. I really don't know. So I can so easily see him falling on his face, and I can see him just rigging things in his favor and winning it. I would say probably. He'll probably cash in successfully.
Yeah. I mean, it's either going to be one of two things. I think he'll cash in dastardly and do it when the time's right, and it'll be a great cash in. Or when he does go to cash in, that's when kill switch turns on him.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. How long do you expect it to be?
That depends, you know. If it's going to be successful, that's a whole different timeline than if it's unsuccessful. If it's unsuccessful, that could be in 2 weeks at all.
Do they put a deadline on it?
I don't think so. I mean, Money in the Bank serves as a whole year, I would imagine.
Right.
This probably would, too. I would imagine it's until next All In. I mean, next All In, they actually announced is in July, so I guess 11 months on this.
I mean, does AEW long play anything like that? I feel like they just rapid fire turn stuff over.
Yeah, I mean, if Christian's still running around with this in January, I would be completely shocked.
Yeah, I feel like it could be like 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the other pay-per-view, All Out, is 2 weeks. You know, there's not much time to breathe. I wouldn't be surprised if AEW says, here's your All Out main event. Christian is cashing in to set up a one-on-one match there.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't either. With like in the WWE, you win the Royal Rumble, you win the Money in the Bank, and it's this, you know, it's this huge thing, this storyline that's in your face all the time for months on end. AEW, you know, I feel like it could be done and over with, forgotten in a matter of weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, what do you think of it just being basically just a contract? You know, WWE, we get the briefcase. You know, it is right in your face. It's big. It's obnoxious. You can use it as a weapon. Here, we just have just a contract.
Yeah, it's lame. I mean, it's obviously lame. Is he gonna be? I can't imagine. He's not gonna be carrying the thing around, right?
He might.
Packet of paper and a clipboard or something, like an envelope. You know, if it's an envelope, that's not bad. Is it in an envelope?
Yeah, it's like just one of those like contract, you know, the black folders that close.
Oh, you know, if they put it in like a nice fancy looking envelope or something, that wouldn't be bad.
Honestly, I mean, a clipboard wouldn't be the worst idea. At least you can use a clipboard as a weapon.
As a weapon, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So if he puts it on a clipboard, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah. It's not the worst thing. I don't hate it, but.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, if he's going to hold it for a while, I think they should probably put a little something in it.
Yeah.
What match you want to talk next?
Mariah May, Toni Storm. Was that the next match?
I mean, that was the second match. Of course, we were just talking about the gauntlet.
Yeah, I meant like the earliest match that we hadn't gone over yet.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, arguably the best match of the night.
Yeah.
Depending who you talk to, but.
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't have an issue with that. I would.
I mean, it's the only match that had the most story.
Absolutely. So, and that didn't make any sense to me why you put the best story you have on second.
Yeah.
You know, they tried to hide it. I mean, this story had way more legs than Britt and Mercedes, you know.
Right.
And that went in the co-main, you know, slot, which shouldn't have. But yeah, I mean, Mariah May gets the title. Good match, honestly. I'm interested to see what happens next. I think Toni Storm maybe should move off of the timeless gimmick a little bit now, or dive more into it, you know, get a little more crazy and whatnot. Oh yeah. I mean, there's not a whole lot to say about the match it was a good match. Yeah. But there's not spots to stick out or anything like that. I mean, Mariah May did get some color. I mean, you don't see that a lot with the women, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, as good as the match was, and despite the fact that I had arguably the best story, I don't know that there's a whole lot to say about the match, honestly.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, we kind of already talked Jericho Hook. Well, let's get into that a little more.
Yeah. So, I mean, the match aside, like, is Jericho basically, I mean, he's got to be pretty much done, right?
He says no. I mean, I saw in an interview the other day, he said, I can still do a moonsault. I still have abs. I'm not going anywhere.
He still has abs? I don't know about that.
Yeah. I mean, he's got the turtle shell abs. They're there.
But... Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he should stay in wrestling, I think, but I don't really want to see him in the ring.
Well, he just needs a different role. If he had, like, the Legends role, like Jeff Jarrett, perfect, you know?
Yeah.
But in these, like, big-time one-on-one feuds, getting big-time matches on All In and getting your band to perform and all that, I mean, he's just past that point in his career.
Yeah, and having 15-minute chop matches with Suzuki.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really... When a guy gets to the point where it's painful for me to look at them, I don't really want to see him wrestling anymore.
Yeah.
You know? Jericho, he's just... It's not... His body's just kind of gross, you know? I don't really like looking at it. Not that I like looking at any of the guys. It's not like I take pleasure in looking at the guys' bodies, but it's like, you know, he doesn't have an aesthetic-looking body at this point. It's just a big, sloppy old guy running around.
Yeah, I mean, Christian's never been a physique guy, but at least he wears, like, the cut-off turtleneck now. So, like, you know, it hides that he's in his 50s. You know, like maybe Jericho needs to do something like that. Like, Christian has pants. Jericho comes out in trunks. Like, it's just like he's like the old guy that still thinks he's in his late 20s, early 30s.
Yeah, which is weird because when Jericho was in the best shape, he was wearing pants.
Yeah, right.
But now that he's old and gross looking, he took the pants off.
Yeah. Yeah, the band performing, I mean, when Jericho's walking to the ring while singing, just, it doesn't do it for me. I would rather just him not perform, you know, like it takes away from the entrance when you're walking down singing your own theme song for me.
I actually like it.
Yeah. I mean, it could work, but I don't know. Just maybe because it's just Jericho. I'm not for it anymore, but.
Yeah. No, that was my favorite part.
Yeah. What about the match itself? I mean, it's FTW rules, so there's some hardcore spots. You know, we get the barbed wire through the table. Taz gets involved. What was the best part for you?
I guess Taz getting involved. We had kind of mentioned that as a possibility on our Dynamite recap. Like you said, Taz hasn't done anything in 20 years, but helps out Hook get the win as we expected. The only thing I still just hate is rips off the eye patch and he's like, I can see, you know. Yeah. I just cringe.
Well, but I mean,
but I like Hook. So
the eye patch thing is stupid. If you could see, why the hell do you have the eye patch on? Why would you go into a fight with one eye on purpose? If you could see and it's fine, why are you wrapping your own eye?
Yeah, it doesn't help you to fool them into thinking that you can't see more than it's hurting you by actually not being able to see out of one eye because you have an eye patch over it.
Exactly. And then if you want to talk even in kayfabe, you're trying to get sympathy for the babyface. I mean, he's in a 1-on-3 fight anyways. You don't need to add the eye patch gimmick to the whole thing. He's already outnumbered.
Yeah.
Yeah, so dumb. I mean, I'm a little disappointed Hook's just back with the FTW championship for the third time. I was hoping to see this move in a different direction. But it is what it is. Taz, when he puts on the Taz mission, I don't know if you noticed, but he couldn't even wrap his arm around Brian Keith's throat. I don't know if that's just Taz at this point can't do it or Brian Keith just a little thicker than Taz is used to, but that looked ugly.
Yeah, probably just too rusty.
Yeah.
Too rusty. Yeah, anything else on that? I mean, we just got Hook running around and, you know, going through the same cycle of the FTW championship, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we can go right into the tag title match. Young Bucks retain. This is another match. Not a lot happened. You know.
Yeah, I think we could have scrapped this one.
Yeah, this, not much happened. One thing I hate with these triple threat tag matches where only two competitors are in the ring. Like, all three teams should have one competitor in the ring. If not, you're sitting there tagging somebody that's not even on your team sometime. It's just stupid anyways. And, I mean, it would make for better action if there's three guys in the ring.
Yeah. I mean, if AEW is so insistent on having the entire roster on the pay-per-view, at least use them all. Yeah. You know, no point in having a 60-man tag match.
Yeah, right.
If they're not going to be utilized.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I mean, Billy Gunn's the most over guy that was in this match, and he's 60 years old.
Yeah.
You know, what's that say?
Yeah, not good. Not good. And it really is true because he was the one in the match. That was pretty much the only exciting part of the match for me. Exciting is a stretch, but if I had to pick an exciting part of it, yeah.
I mean, he was the one getting the chance. The signs were all for him.
Yeah.
That's your world tag title match. Next, I mean, let's talk Mercedes Britt. I mean, I kind of already said this got outshined by the Women's World Championship match. You agree or disagree?
Yeah, I mean, the whole build for it was kind of botched. Crowd wasn't really into it. Just overall, I think a bit of a flop.
Yeah, and I mean, Mercedes signed the biggest contract in women's wrestling history, apparently. And she's just not delivering, you know, like her promos have been sucking lately. The build wasn't great. This match sucked. Even the spot where like Britt's pinning her and then Camille's supposed to put her foot on the rope. Like they even messed that spot up. The ref just like is acknowledging that. Another thing I thought was stupid was Britt does the old Eddie Guerrero thing where she pretends she gets hit with the title to get Camille kicked out. But really, if Camille hit her with the title, that would be a disqualification in a normal setting. So if you think about it, it's pretty stupid of Britt to do it because the ref could have easily looked at that and disqualified her, right? So that's an issue.
Would they ever do that, though? Like, I just feel like in wrestling, I don't know, does that ever happen without them actually seeing it?
No, but if they don't see it, why are you doing anything, right? Like, if you didn't see Camille do it, why are you kicking her out anyways?
Yeah, right.
Like, where's the logic there anyways? Like, okay, yeah. You're allowed out here for 10 minutes, but I didn't see you do this thing, so now you got to go.
I mean, the whole – obviously, it's pro wrestling. It's just the way it is. It'll never change. But just having people being ringside in general is probably the dumbest thing logically in all of wrestling. Like it does, you know, it doesn't make any sense. But to get back to it, like, you know, why wouldn't he just throw her out right when the match starts?
Yeah, exactly.
What, there's nothing good that can come of someone being ringside.
Yeah, dude, I know. And like, especially some of these people in AEW, they come out with 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people at ringside, you know, and like that didn't make sense. To go back to the tag match, another thing that didn't make sense is like the Young Bucks are trying to hide their low blows from the ref. It's a triple threat match. Triple threat matches have no disqualifications. So like even these two title matches here, I just think it's a bad look on the refs. It makes the refs look stupid in AEW.
Yeah, so you think this falls on Mercedes? Because, I mean, I saw people on Twitter simping for her after Dynamite. Saying, like, I saw a thread earlier today just talking about, oh, Mercedes shredded Britt Baker on the mic the other day. Shredded her. Oh.
So, I mean, in some ways, she kind of did. Like, Britt, she tried throwing it in Mercedes' face that she's worried about being the highest paid woman of all time. As if that's an insult. You know? Like, I don't know. I just think this was bad on both of them.
Yeah.
And it's a shame because this is the biggest match AEW could put on the women's side. So it's just, it is sad, but that's just the state of the women's division right now for them.
Yeah. I don't think anybody really did their part to make this a good story or a match. Like, AEW, I don't, you know, the writing, Mercedes, Britt, I don't think anybody really did a good job.
No, I think they just were hoping on the CEO versus DMD on a poster or the chance would just carry it itself. But you got to tell the story.
MJF Ospreay?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Ospreay gets the international championship back.
Yeah. Best match of the night. Not even close. For me, no surprise. I mean, what else could you expect, really? I mean, These two are just magic, I think. Like MJF, also MJF's attire, A+. I mean, I think this was a short, I don't know if it's over, but you know, this is a short build for this match, and I think A+ for me.
Yeah. I mean, they're 1-1. All Out is 2 weeks again. They don't have much room to build or pivot or go in different directions. So the rubber match makes sense if they go that direction. Obviously, Daniel Garcia appears, kind of costs MJF, so I wouldn't be surprised that they run MJF versus Garcia. Maybe they go the triple threat direction. Either way, I actually liked Ospreay's entrance quite a bit. I thought that was cool. I guess I would say that was probably the entrance of the night.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it should be that you would expect.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was a good moment. I liked when he won. He wouldn't even grab the American Championship. He waited until the International Championship was right there.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I got no complaints. No complaints about this match.
Yeah, I mean, they told the story of the Tiger Driver. Like, wrestling can be simple, you know? Like, it's all about this move, and that's what the whole build-up was, you know, he didn't want to use the move. He's a babyface now. He knows what the move can do to people, but MJF brought it out of him, and that was perfect. I think that's good, showing Ospreay will do whatever it takes to win the championship. I think it's good heel work of MJF that he can bring that side out of babyfaces too.
Yeah. Anything else on that?
No.
Yeah.
Coffin match.
Yeah. So Darby Allin, Jungle Boy coffin match felt a little short.
Yeah, it definitely felt like it was cut short. I don't know why. Maybe they thought, hey, we are running a little long at this point. But, yeah, this felt short. I was expecting more spots. There really wasn't a super memorable spot, you know, like there normally is with Darby in these kind of matches. Even Jungle Boy's starting to, you know, to be in that role too. I mean, we've seen him lit on fire and handcuffed to the cage and get whacked with the chair, so... Yeah, I was a little disappointed with this.
Yeah, I felt like I looked away for like 1 second, and it didn't seem like the match was ending at all or really nearing that. And then I look back and Jungle Boy won. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah. And I think coffin matches can have that issue though too.
Yeah. But then we get Sting coming out to make the save. Was that a surprise to you?
No, I was actually, to be honest with you, before the match had started, I was expecting Jungle Boy was going to open the coffin to try to put Darby in, and Sting was going to be laying there. That's what I was expecting prior to the match. Didn't get that, but yeah, no, I was expecting to see Sting some way or another.
Okay.
Just the one thing I didn't like is, you know, obviously they pour the gasoline. I mean... When you're an entertainment business, you never want to tease something and not do it, right? You know? So once you're teasing the fire with the gasoline and then you never use it, you know, it can leave fans a little unsatisfied.
Yeah, I get that. Honestly, it doesn't bother me, but I get it. Yeah. I mean, I don't know why they didn't just light it.
Yeah. They shoulda and coulda, but ultimately they don't. Darby's got a world title match lined up. I'm happy to see him go in that direction. I'm not sure what's next for Jungle Boy, though.
Yeah. I guess just continuing with this. Which title does he have? TNT?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess just running with that for a little bit.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, we can go right in the main event now.
Yeah, Danielson, Swerve.
Yeah.
Tough to follow up MJF and Ospreay, but I mean, they kind of did it.
Yeah.
You could say this is the best match of the night. I wouldn't have a problem with that. It's probably the, well, I mean, I've seen people saying the Mariah May match was the best. I'm saying MJF because I like MJF the most. But I think objectively speaking, this is probably the best match. I think it delivered on everything.
Yeah,
that
I mean,
it was supposed to.
It's pretty impressive how much the crowd was into it when you factor in how late into the show it was, you know, 4 hours deep. If you count the pre-show, this was 6 hours deep. And to get the probably crowd on their feet.
Excited like to that, go home.
Yeah, right, right. So, I mean, this was good, though. I mean, it was a pretty good match. I wouldn't call it the best match of the night. It was a little too much of relying on Danielson's family being there for my liking. You know, like when Swerve's kicking him and he's just staring at his family saying, I love you. I could do without that. That was kind of silly. Like, defend yourself rather than scream at your family you love them. Especially in that time. Like, imagine.
Not like he's breathing his last breath.
Right. Imagine this is based in reality for a second and you're in a fist fight. You're just letting somebody punch you and you're just screaming at your wife, I love you. Rather than putting your hands up or attacking him back. It's just stupid. But the Hangman stuff, I don't think should have been in this match.
Why not?
It's just like, it just took away from it. You know, especially because Danielson's the babyface. Swerve's the heel. I don't need to see the heel being distracted.
Yeah, you know, yeah, that makes sense.
because, I mean, Danielson doesn't end up winning right there once Swerve gets distracted, but it's still like the babyface got the upper hand for a minute because somebody that's not even involved, you know, distracted him. So that was kind of stupid, but I would imagine we're probably getting Swerve versus Hangman at All Out.
Yeah, I mean, I would hope so, considering the fact that all we hear about is Swerve Hangman, Swerve Hangman, Swerve Hangman, and they're never actually in a match against each other. You know, I just got to hear about it all, the entire Jeff Jarrett match. So, right. Yeah, it'd be cool. You know, it'd be cool if they would actually wrestle each other.
Yeah, which it seems like that's probably what's going to happen. I don't know who Danielson's going to be feuding with right off rip. I don't know if they even know that right now. I think they just wanted to have the moment. And I think the moment delivered. This is probably one of AEW's better moments in their history, their short history, I would say. What do you think of Danielson as champion finally, though, after 3 years in the company?
I mean, it's long overdue. And I mean, he's still so over. You know, he's got a lot of juice still. Like, you know, crowd's not tired of him. So, I mean, I think it's great.
Yeah, and I mean, with that being said, think about how stupid it was that they're running the retirement storyline. As if he would retire right now. Like, he's the most over guy on the AEW roster. You know, he's like, he's early 40s. Why the hell would he be done now?
Yeah, that didn't have to be the storyline.
No. And I mean, like I said when they first did it, I think that just made it too obvious Danielson was going to win right off rip. If that wasn't there, at least there would be some doubt.
It could have just been, hey, I've been here for X amount of years. I still haven't gotten this title. I've dedicated my life to wrestling and blah, blah, blah. You know, that could have been it.
Yeah, that's what it should have been.
Right. Yeah, no, I'm with you.
Yeah, I mean, I think that pretty much covers everything. Next year, All In moves to America for the first time. Any thoughts on that?
Where's it going to be?
Texas, Dallas. Not AT&T. Not AT&T. Where the Rangers
play. What, Globe Life Park?
Yeah.
Interesting. I don't know. I mean, what would I think of it? Honestly,
just Whatever. Do you think they can sell it? You know, do you think they could sell a stadium in America?
I mean, is it? Are they bigger in America? They should be, right?
Should be. The ratings have been dropping. You know, if they continue to drop for the next year, how's the stadium going to look?
Yeah, that's the thing is, you know, they control it to a certain extent. They have a year to fix what needs to be fixed.
Yeah. I mean, but we'll see if Danielson pops the ratings.
Yeah, I'm not holding my breath on that, but.
Yeah. No, me either. I wouldn't be surprised Dynamite has a higher rating this week. You know, I could see a lot of people being like, oh, Daniel Bryan's the champion? Let me check that out. You know, but
yeah,
where everything stands right now, stadium in America, I mean, they've done Arthur Ashe, but that's not like a true stadium, you know. Now they're going to run a true stadium with 45,000 to 50,000 seats. I'll be interested to see if they can pull that off.
Where's Arthur Ashe?
New York City.
Oh, like where Wimbledon is?
Yeah, it's the tennis.
It's the tennis? Okay.
Yeah, so
how big is that?
It fits like
25,000.
Yeah.
Really? I didn't realize that it was that big.
Well,
I just feel like when I watch Wimbledon, it honestly just looks like there's like 500 people there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's where the U.S. Open is. That's so.
Okay. Right. Right across the street from Citi Field.
Right. So, but with that being said, though. A few years ago, they did Arthur Ashe. They've ran it a couple times. I saw this year, they only have like 3,000 seats sold. A few years ago, they sold it out of like 25,000.
Yeah, not good. Not good.
Yeah.
I think we'll see what the direction is, like whether it's going to get even worse or whether it's going to get better once WWE goes to Netflix.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anything else?
No.
No. All right. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Tag Teamers Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, follow, like, comment, leave a review. We will be back after Monday Night Raw.